Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the Radio of Wretched, where your breakfast was pretty good today because it was super duper cold in the South. And you know the pro-life thing.
Are you okay? Are you sure you're all right?
No, I'm not all right. Everything is out of sorts and I can't get it sorted because I didn't go to church on Sunday. That's right. We pulled a North Point. Well, it wasn't that extreme. It was a little chilly in the South. That's basically what the whole thing. Well, unless a little further north, Tennessee, you got some snow. Where I come from, which of course, in my perspective, is the epicenter of the planet. It got cold. There was a little bit of rain. There was a touch of ice for a minute, but it was nothing compared to what the alarmist said it was going to be. Nevertheless, I did see a press release where Andy Stanley shut down the church until after the 4th of July. You know, just to make sure people are safe. Got to be safe. Got to be safe. Be safe out there. Isn't it? I heard people saying that, by the way. It reminded me of COVID time. That's when the word safe, if you had the trademark on the word safe, you were making ka-ching at COVID time. Be safe out there. Be safe. Hey, stay safe. Okay. All right. Not walking into a war zone. I think I'm gonna be all right. We became the stay safe people. And that was kind of the attitude that I experienced with our supposed ice storm. Hey, stay safe out there. Well, I got here and I'm safe. Pretty confident I'll be safe unless, of course, the Lord wills I get into an accident. But I don't think that's going to be because of my lack of being safe. I'm pretty sure North Point, they might be shut down for all of 2026. They want to make sure. Well, we shut down on Saturday night. We decided, let's not do church. It killed us to do it. And I have to tell you, I'm out of sorts. Because church is your aligner. It's your nighttime retainer. Yeah, I'm gonna keep going for this. It's your joint chiropractic clinic where you have to go every week because you know you're just kind of in and out. It's the joint chiropractic, it's sort of like the McDonald's of chiropractic clinics. It's cheap and it's fast, and you gotta keep going back. Otherwise, you just don't ever feel like fixed completely. That's what it's like to not go to church. I'm not fixed. I've not been put into alignment. I've not been righted. If it has been your propensity to skip church, and if you're wondering why, you maybe just life isn't feeling quite right. It's because of lack of consistency in going to church. I am so persuaded via the Bible and experience. You've got to forsake the assembling of saints. Now, of course, there can be legitimate times. An ice storm can be a legitimate time. It wouldn't have been safe on Sunday morning to drive. That would have been foolishness. Because I think Sunday morning, it was genuinely... Jimmy, up where you're a little further north than we are.
Yeah.
Were you slip sliding away up there?
Oh, yes. You couldn't even walk outside the door. I mean, everything was just frozen shut. About an inch of ice.
Yeah. We didn't have that much ice. But it was nevertheless, it wasn't wise to do it. And so with just, on Saturday night, we waited till the last possible moment to make that decision in hopes we could be to church on Sunday because it is the thing that just sets your compass straight. Can't say it points you north anymore because, well, that's been ruined from the church that's closed till Independence Day. It's like, okay, all right. All right, I remember now who God is, who I is, how the planet runs, what's important, Now I can go to work. And without that, I'm telling you, it out of sorts. But I did learn a little something. As we're texting about this on Saturday night, I was informed that the church in Woodstock, Faith in Woodstock, real good church, that he was going to do, that Shane was going to do a Sunday morning, just the YouTube, the internet, with AI, however you do the thing with the, where you show up in people's computers. What is that called, Jimmy?
Like, Zoom?
I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah. Where they could still get together. And I went, why didn't we think of that? And then it got worse. Because it was Sunday morning, Mrs. Friel gets a text from Mrs. Allen and said, oh, we just listened to Kevin DeYoung's sermon and it was amazing. So we went and found Kevin's sermon, which he recorded on Saturday because the weather was still good. And it showed like they basically did the church service on Saturday because they knew they were going to be closing on Sunday. And I remember thinking I should have had a V8 and we should have done that too. So if in... you're in a region where you might just shut down because it's not safe for people to travel, you might want to consider those two options. You could still meet on Sunday morning, a little bit more casual perhaps, but still a message from the pastor, getting together to pray. That ain't church, but it's a reminder, hey, this is the most important thing in my life. This is the most important hour of the week. And then the other option is, if you have the same type of dynamic and timing, you could do it on Saturday. Oh, why didn't I think of that? So, based on the recommendation of Mrs. Allen, we decided to go find Kevin DeYoung. That boy has gotten good as a preacher. Wow. They're working through the Book of Romans in his church. He's in one of the Carolinas. I can never remember which. And I don't know how old Kevin is. I think his age now is higher than the number of children they have. I'm not exactly sure, but I think he's old because he was a pup when I first saw him.
He's 48.
48. Mm-hmm. How many kids does Kevin have?
47.
Even as you said that, the Duggars are at home going, oh, how come we couldn't get to that? No. So how many kids, Google him.
I am.
All right, let's find out how many, because he's got a passel of children. That's right, passel of children. And he's still a relatively young fellow. And his preaching, it was so remarkable to me because they're preaching through the Book of Romans. He mentioned that, hey, we're taking a break from that because it's this. And we wanted the whole church to be together and not miss anything in the Book of Romans. Okay. So that means he picked a text sometime that week, probably not earlier than Tuesday. And he was preaching from Mark. He was talking, it was so structured and it was so well outlined and it was 3 points and he moved through them with pace, did enough exposition to show, look, we're working through the text and yet pulling out the meaning and the application of the text. And I thought he kind of just whipped that baby together because they're working through the Book of Romans, and he handled it that well. Whew, it was the beautiful story of the leper who wanted to be cleansed. I know you can, Lord, if you will. Oh. And I believe that Kevin's outline was, if you want to be made clean, then you've got to recognize you got a problem. That's where it starts. You've got to recognize that you have something worse than a skin disease. You've got yourself a sin disease and you've got to recognize it. And then you've got to come to the one and expressing your need for him and trusting that he can cleanse and forgive you. It was magnificent. He even tied in a little bit of Macbeth. It was like, dude, hoofda. It was, Jimmy, what sermon did you listen to on Sunday morning?
I did. Our pastor.
No, that's right. You know what? I've gotten used to being spiritually superior.
We had something.
You didn't listen to anything, did you?
I did. We had something from our pastor.
Did you?
Yeah, he sent it.
What did they? Oh, did Charlie do it too?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'm such a loser. Ay, ay, ay. Everybody apparently had their act together, but Alpharetta Bible Church. So Charlie did something on Sunday morning?
Yeah, he sent something out to the entire church. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. Now that you've revealed that, and that you're equal in spirituality to me, it's going to take some adjusting in my mind. I feel like, why didn't we do it? We knew the thing was coming. And even if the weather didn't manifest itself the way that they were predicting, you just got to shut down in the South. I'm telling you, if there is a danger of any sort of storm, look out, Daddy-O. You are just closing down the place. Nevertheless, we were blessed. Even though it wasn't church, it was not our congregation, we were blessed by a handling of the word that was so fine. And I couldn't help but comment, because Kevin DeYoung, he's a Presbyterian. He was preaching like a Baptist. I'm telling you, it was some good gospel preaching. And so we were blessed by that. Nevertheless, it did not make up for the actual assembling of the saints. How's about this? It's still close enough to New Year's. We can all make this commitment. Unless you're not safe, we're going to be in church every single Sunday till we die. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Masters University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, so Wretched Radio and stuff and the Bible, things to talk about
what's
here.
What's wrong now, John?
Just feeling like a loser. Seems every other church had some sort of contingency plan, but if I read a Bible church, then I just feel like a loser and out of sorts. So I'm basically two things these days. It seems, Jimmy, everybody had some sort of a plan to do something to bring the people together from the local congregation, except us. Oh, the shame. Do we still have back in the storage room either sackcloth or ashes? I'll take either one because I feel... But I did get to listen to a whiz-bang of a sermon from Kevin DeYoung. Really, really fine preaching. If you're an expositor, you would do well to go listen to his Sunday sermon. And I don't listen to every Kevin DeYoung sermon, but his handling of the word, especially a narrative text, not an easy thing to do. Because you've got theology in it, but you also have a story that's attempting to make a point, typically. So how do you preach that thing expositionally and have it impact the hearts of the hearers? Each genre of the Bible requires a different skill set. How you preach the Proverbs versus the Gospels, that's just a different assignment. Same thing is true, really, with the Epistle. All of the genres... It just requires a dip. That's why there's actually classes and teachings on, for instance, preaching the Psalms. You go, well, you preach it the way that you do all the other stuff, right? No, because it's poetry and it's communicating truths in a different context, in a different language, to a people under a different covenant. That requires just a different set of skills. Different tools need to be in your preaching drawer in order to be able to handle the word rightly. And so it is with a historical narrative. Go listen to it, because I was listening. The good news is I wasn't listening critically. I trust a guy like Kevin DeYoung, unless, of course, he's talking about sprinkling babies with water. Other than that, I was like, okay, he's a smart guy. He's a sound guy. I'm just going to listen to him and let the word speak to me. Let it do whatever it is that God has ordained for it to do, because he always ordains the word to do something to you when you listen to it. But I did, however, notice it's like, okay, he's bringing out some of the context of the text. Remember, it was a one-off sermon. He talked about Hansen's disease, what skin diseases were, but only in as much as it helped us to understand what Jesus was doing. He went back into Leviticus. What did it mean to become impure from touching somebody with leprosy? How do we explain? So there was expositional work that was going on. There's no doubt about it, but it also banged. Point number one, point number two, point number three. And then the ultimate point was you need Christ. You need to go to Jesus Christ. You got a disease, and the only one who can cleanse you is Jesus. Come, you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Amen was the sermon. It was a lesson in preaching historical narrative in an expositional way that had direct application. It exalted Jesus. It was a study. It was very fine. I've had an article from Kevin DeYoung sitting on my desk for a bit. Right now, we are seeing a continuing conversation on the internet about something called Christian nationalism in a different article that I just read by Kevin, who's a very fine historian. We just need to lose that term. It's so unhelpful. It's like calling somebody a Christian. Unfortunately, it's like, what are we talking about here? What stripe? What variant are you? Same thing is true with Christian nationalism. I think Kevin is quite even-handed in his treatment. He denies being a Christian nationalist, although, depending on how you define it, he could be. See, that's the problem with using the words. It's like, well, is he or isn't he? Yeah, that's the problem. Nevertheless, I thought his article asking six questions for Christian nationalists was helpful. was helpful. Quote, there are serious theological conversations taking place that should continue, but there are also conversations about political prescriptions that have zero chance of being enacted. Now, I would say that is not the primary argument against some sort of theonomy, but there is a practical aspect. Is this going to work right now or even in the foreseeable future? Quote, I hear some Christian voices expressing outrage that idolatrous worship is tolerated in our nation, but no one has ever pressed on the details of what it would look like to no longer grant legal toleration to false religions. What would that look like? Are we going to have a new ICE that closes down false religions? It's a question worth asking. Color this for us. What does this look like? Do we bulldoze the Buddhist temple immediately? Do we arrest the worshipers on the spot or merely fine them? And should we only suppress foreign religions and target those that don't look like real Americans? Or are Catholics, Jews, and liberal Christians fair game too? I don't want to minimize that the rhetoric can be disturbing, but a lot of the Christian nationalism cacophony is sound and fury signifying nothing. It is easy to seem visionary and fearless when your ideas have the intellectual luxury of impossibility. What does this look like? I think that's one of his questions. Where have you seen this nationalism, this Christian nationalism, where it was like, that rock, that was it. There you had it right there. I'd love to hear what that looked like, because as I read history, I don't see it working out well at all. In fact, it was in the Christian Post, I think. One of their headlines was, they do a this date in history, and it was about King Henry, the second, third, fourth, something like that, in the 11th century. Now, King Henry, of course, was Roman Catholic, but he was taking advantage of appointing bishops. Well, the new reformer pope, Pope Gregory, I think the seventh, maybe the second or the seventh, it had like a couple of I's and maybe a V in it. He was a reformer pope, and he didn't want the kings to have that authority. And so he tried to shut down Henry. Henry didn't like it. And so he started to make accusations against the pope. Ah, you're not the real pope. Yeah, you stole the office. You don't belong there. Letters were exchanged. A lot of letters were exchanged. You can read them online. They're really quite fascinating. And the reformer pope ultimately won to the point where Henry, the king, had to go to the Pope, stand outside barefoot in the snow for 3 days, where he received absolution. Because if he didn't, it was going to be nothing but turmoil in his nation with all of the Roman Catholics that thought, wait a second, England is getting cut off from the Pope? And so that was in the Holy Roman Empire. And we see the Pope actually flexing muscle over the monarch? Is that what we want it to look like in America? Whose Christianity gets to be in charge here? These questions need to be answered. And how do we explain these things to people who don't fit into our theological grid? Back to de Young. When some Christians wax eloquent about the need for a Protestant Franco, or about why we should take the vote away from women, or about why the civil magistrate should crush idolatrous worship, they aren't laying down a constructive alternative to progressivism. They're alienating normal people and stirring up division in the church. And that's what I've seen too much. If you're of the Christian nationalist bent and you believe in the essentials, then I look forward to seeing you in heaven. And I would offer this word to anybody who's stirring it up in the context of their local church. Please stop. Please stop doing that. Yeah, take your pastor out to lunch. You can share what you think and how you feel. Oh, but please don't make this a point of division in your church. Don't try to get people on your side, and don't start talking to other people about how your pastor doesn't talk about these things and he's not tough enough and he needs to be doing more and he needs to be more. Don't do that. You meet with him, DeYoung. The reality is that if a nation the size of a continent with over 330 million people tried to eradicate religious freedom and move to a 16th century model of the civil magistrate, the cure, air quotes, for religious pluralism would kill the patient more than the disease would. The alternative to the First Amendment is not the glorious sunlit uplands of enlightened national Presbyterianism. And De Young's a Presbyterian, by the way. The alternative is Soviet Russia or Communist China. A status system that spies on its people, violently oppresses dissent, and interposes the reach of government coercion into every area of life. Remember that every attempt in the history of the world to realize heaven on earth has produced absolutely hellish results. Kevin DeYoung, historian, superfine preacher, something to chew on, my theonomist friends. This is Wretched Radio.
It is now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, after 6 years of drama, TikTok has finally struck a deal to stay in the United States. Under the agreement, a new U.S. version of the app will be 80% owned by international investors. Oracle, Emirati from NJX, and Silver Lake will each hold 15%. ByteDance will retain just 19.9%, conveniently under the threshold that would trigger the ban. Oracle will manage all U.S. user data, which should ease some national security concerns. Whether it fully addresses the Chinese spying on your teenagers problem, well, that remains to be seen. And speaking of tech and teenagers, Meta is pulling its AI characters from users under 18 after those simulated personalities, which were designed for extended conversations and role-playing, raised alarms with parents and lawmakers. Meta promises a future PG-13 version with parental controls. The company insists it's being proactive, though mounting lawsuits accusing social media giants of harming children's mental health may have helped clarify their priorities. The Trump administration's Title IX crackdown has started to heat up. The Department of Education has referred Minnesota to the Justice Department after the state refused to negotiate over allowing boys to compete in girls' sports. Minnesota became the poster child for this issue last spring when a male pitcher dominated the girls' state softball tournament. And down in Texas, San Antonio found a creative workaround to Governor Abbott's ban on pride crosswalks. They're painting the sidewalks instead. And in an odd twist, Pride San Antonio and the Texas Conservative Liberty Forum filed a joint lawsuit. One wants crosswalks back, the other wants all public pride paintings gone, but both agree bureaucrats should not be spending $170,000 without proper authorization. Live Action released undercover footage ahead of its March for Life showing Planned Parenthood employees telling women that abortion is safer than carrying to term and offering to ship pills without ultrasound or parental knowledge. One Minnesota employee assured a caller they could set things up to be confidential. Live Action President Lila Rose met with HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. to discuss pulling mifepristone from the market, a drug that has ended an estimated 7.5 million lives since its approval. In academic news, it kind of writes its own punchline. Feminist historian Irene Koslet's new book claims William Shakespeare was actually a black Jewish woman named Emilia Willoughby. The theory relies on critical and feminist theory, of course, rather than historical documentation. But why let pesky facts interfere with a good narrative, right? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can also sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at fortisinstitute.org. And also, do not forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your very favorite podcast app so you can get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Gonna be shocked. Don Lemon wasn't right. No. This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to City's Church, shall we? They're still in the news. I saw the Pastor Parnell. He was on the Fox News talking about, he was armed with his lawyer. They were talking about what the next legal steps might be for the City's Church. I sure did appreciate the fact that his message to those people who broke the law and terrorized his church, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. The mayors need Jesus. The governor needs Jesus. He was calling them to repentance. Well done, sir. But there's some new deets that have been leaking out about what actually happened, because you saw the video, I'm almost certain, and it was pretty bad. But somebody compiled the affidavits of those who were actually in the church. Statements were taken. It was nastier than I think we appreciate. For instance, agitators, not protesters, agitators, blocked stairs so parents were unable to get to their children at Sunday school. Oh, man, Scylla. I got to tell you, I think last week we talked about a church's posture. If something similar happened, like it happened at City, a disruption of the service, my opinion, I think our posture for that is we don't pull out our firearms, although we have them. We don't bow up and start bumping with our chests and getting physical unless we need to. Unless we need to. If they start to harm people, if they might even be crossing a line where it is so frightening to people, now that to get them to leave the premises, it could, in some circumstances, be required of a church. So I'm not saying that there is ironclad rules to all of this, but I am saying that there's scenarios that we should consider. Like, what if the agitators block the nursery, won't let you in to get your kid? That's a little different, because I don't know what's going on down there, and I'm going to do what it takes to rescue my child. I'm going to do what it takes to get my kid out of what I deem to be harm's way. All that to say, please talk about this in the context of your local church. With the congregation needs to be involved in this, because, well, they're the ones who are going to be affected by it. It's not just the elders and deacons. It's going to be the congregation. What are we going to do if this happens in this church? Back to the affidavits. I took this from thereaderapp.com. One of the agitators told the kids, "Do you know your parents are Nazis and they're going to burn in hell?" These things, you know, the word, the Nazi word, it's almost becoming like the F-bomb. It's used so much, it really doesn't have the snap it once did. So, you know, these days, everybody apparently is a Nazi. Nevertheless, they were yelling at the kids and calling their parents Nazis. Really? Really? Telling the parents, the kids, that the parents are going to burn in hell? Yeah, Don Lemon, that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what Don Lemon claims, that Jesus, he cleansed the temple. No different, absolutely the same. If you're interested, we have a video. It's going to be going up today on the YouTube machine. It's not hard to come up with so many reasons why that illustration is so off. No shocker, Shane Claiborne also made that comparison. This was just like Jesus cleansing the temple, only it wasn't like that at all. I don't expect good theology from Shane Claiborne, but it is a good exercise in good biblical exegesis, handling the scripture rightly, because Shane Claiborne, Don Lemon, the woman who was the leader who claims to be an ordained minister, saying the same thing. Hey, Jesus went into church and cleansed it? No, actually, he didn't. He didn't. They're not comparable. And it demands that you actually handle the text well, which I wouldn't expect from Don Lemon. But if you'd like to see that video, it's on the YouTube machine. What else happened there? I think the dude with the beard yelling, "This ain't God's house. This is the house of the devil." Well, all I can say, sir, is at least in the house of the devil, they use better grammar. About 50 members of the congregation were stuck toward the front of the church. Not only did the agitators take over the service, but they made it nearly impossible for parishioners to get out and leave. Just like Jesus did. One woman broke her arm. You know, just like Jesus did. Congregants were, quote, terrorized. Our children were weeping. College students and young women were sobbing. It was impactfully, I think that's a typo, and it will take time to work through. An agitator, quote, continued to scream in the faces of young children while they were crying. You know, just like Jesus did. That is, we shouldn't be shocked that people like Shane Claiborne, if you're not familiar with him, he started in the emergent movement. He's outside of orthodoxy. I don't expect good interpretive skills from Don Lemon, but happy to tag him on it when it does happen. Because if you're going to quote the Bible, suddenly I have a keen interest. Let's go to First Baptist. There's a place, they use the word church, but you be the judge, in Columbia, Missouri. It's a lovely part of the world, by the way. They are going to be hosting live Flamey Grant. Oh, it's not Amy, it's Flamey. I think I read this right. It, Patagonia. That's like clothing. Isn't like Patagonia, like really good stuff for outdoor wear. I think that there is one of these performers that calls her, it, whatever, self, Patagonia. And I think Patagonia is suing them because it ain't helping business. So at this particular Baptist church in Columbia, Missouri, they are, quote, thrilled to welcome Flamey Grant. You say, why would a Baptist church do that? Well, they answer the question. At First Baptist, we believe God's love is expansive. I believe that too. Embodied, yes. And always moving toward liberation. Okay, there's the problem right there. That would indicate a trajectory hermeneutic. You see, God in the Old Testament, he actually Sodom and Gomorrah, burned the place down. Jesus never said anything about LGBTQ. Clearly, God was moving in the right direction. So now God would certainly want to liberate the people who are being oppressed from being who they really are, which incidentally, this is a clear example of 200 years of secular worldview having made its way into the church. You've got to be able to express your inner self. You've got to be able to show them who you really are. I can't remember. I just saw a commercial and it was the very same message. Being who you really are on the inside. What is that? It's expressive individualism. It's creeped its way into this church. Quote, we believe worship can be reverent and playful. I wonder if they consulted the Bible on that playful business. I thought it was supposed to be done reverentially, decently, and in order because, you know, God is still to be feared. Actually working on this for a sermon a number of weeks from now. Because in First Peter chapter 1, he uses a word that it's like, wait a second, I thought we were just supposed to love God. No, Peter says, fear God. And I went back, I haven't done the research all the way on this. I'm in the process of doing that. Psalm 103, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So you read through like the first 12, 15 verses of Psalm 103, and it's just all the wonderful attributes of God, loving kindness, mercy, forgiveness, graciousness, providing, satisfying the needs. One line, hey, he could run out of patience with you. Otherwise, it's all the goodness, the goodness, the goodness. And then probably the Bible verse that you've got memorized, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is the Father's love for those that love him? Nope. Have correct theology about him? Nope. Those who fear him. And then I kept reading the entire psalm, and guess what? It says it three times for those who fear him. Now, in the column on the footnote, it actually says those who revere him, and that's probably a better word because it's supposed to be a reverential fear, not a cowering kind of fear. Nevertheless, it's supposed to be a fear. Why? because he's so otherly. Is he imminent? Yes. He's closer than a brother. Is he one who is all of those aforementioned attributes? Yes, he is. But he's also God. And we should worship him in fear, in reverence, not playfully, and not with flamey Grant. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our ransom. Through our sin, we are in bondage to sin and death. But Christ paid the fine to satisfy God's justice and purchase us as his holy people. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to sin, but to God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Louis Vuitton. I think it was Louis Vuitton. This is Wretched Radio. There we are. We're locked in our basement. It's cold outside. We're hunkering down just like the rest of Atlanta, Georgia. And a commercial pops on, and it just shows a number of people standing, kind of, you know, that blank set where it looks like they're kind of standing in the middle of nowhere, nothing. And it's all of these people that were, let's just say, highly unusual. And it was for Louis Vuitton for suitcase stuff. And I think, I hope I'm not conflating it with another one, but believe me, it was plenty weird and worthy of critique. But it, basically the message was, you be you. You just let it go. And this suitcase, it's for everybody who's living their authentic lives. That is the message of our day. That is the predominant worldview of today. When it comes to philosophy, when it comes to worldview and when it comes to religion. It is making its way into the church. This particular church in Columbia, Missouri, hosting Flamey Grant. I wonder how Amy feels about that. I don't know. She might actually think it's pretty cool. Because if I'm not mistaken, she was affirming. Am I correct about that, Jimmy?
I do believe so.
All right, Google that.
Yep.
Don't want to besmirch, but I'm pretty certain. Flamey Grant performing at a Baptist church in Columbia, Missouri. Come on, man. And they express the worldview that has permeated virtually everything. This is their explanation. We believe stories matter, especially the stories that have been silenced, shamed, or pushed to the margins. See, these people have been forced to live in the shadows, and we believe people need to be able to come out and express themselves fully. What is that? Well, it's secular humanism, to be certain, but specifically, it's a postmodern expressive individualism. You've got to let the insides show on the outsides, and the outsides need to affirm what you're feeling on the inside, even if it totally violates science, logic, and reason. Flamey Grant, said the release, brings her full self to the stage. Brings her full self. There it is. She's actualizing her full self. The social constraints, the rules that try to conform me into an image that I don't feel is accurate for me. No, off with those shackles. This is my full self, and it's inside of this church. She brings her full self to the stage and invites all of us to do the same. Couldn't be more basic, could it, when it comes to reading the Bible? The problem is our insides. whatever our bent is, we are just sinful to the core, aren't we? Can't we agree on that if you read the Bible, First Baptist Church of wherever you are in Missouri? Good. That we've got a problem on the inside. And that if we express it on the outside, that's problematic. Because we have all kinds of bad desires. And yet this church breathing in the cultural air. You find it, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what do you got?
She's...
Now, did you check the source on this?
Billboard magazine.
Okay, pretty good.
Yes, she slams those homophobic LGBTQ Christians or non-Christians who hate LGBTQ, basically, is what she's saying.
You know, is she Gnostic?
I don't know, but here, you want a quote?
Sure. Could you sing it like Amy?
No.
Is it quote? That was my baby.
She says,
you don't know that song, do you?
I do not.
You do too.
No.
Don't make me sing more of it. Okay, I will. Baby, I'm taken with the notion.
Oh, maybe. Okay,
yeah. Devotion.
Yeah, I know more.
Baby. I don't know what a baby is.
I know more of her husband's music.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? You probably spun his disc. Yeah. All right, what's the quote?
Okay, so she says, don't be afraid. You're loved, gay, straight. It does not matter. It doesn't matter how we behave.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how we're wired. We're all our best selves when we believe.
There it is.
Course. Yep.
There it is. It's just a Kool-Aid, and it's been consumed by far too many professing Christian people, including Flamey and Amy Grant. Let's go to another church. Sorry, same subject. This poor Missouri Synod Church in Granite City. Granite City. What country are we? Granite City. Come on, not the B. Where's Granite City? Jimmy, where's Granite City? It better be someplace like Montana or Wyoming. North Dakota even would be fine. This church hired a 24-year-old man who is on trans hormones to clean the church. Now, that's a kind act, isn't it? That's a loving thing to do, especially when the church, it is called the Missouri Synod, it is a confessional Lutheran synod of confessional Lutheran denomination, where they would say that this is not biblical, this is not right, this is sinful. Nevertheless, hired this kid to give him a job. What happened? Tragically, the boy killed himself. Parents are now blaming the church. They're blaming the church because the pastor
didn't permit him to wear a French-made outfit and cat ears while working. They believe that the leaders are partly responsible for their son's death because they showed little empathy or concern and gave an ultimatum that led to a mental health crisis. The pastor wasn't worried about their son's well-being or state of mind. Well, clearly they were. Clearly they were. And when this young man went to work there, he had to know they did not affirm his lifestyle. He was worried about clothes, said the parents. They wanted to sue the church, but couldn't find an attorney to take the case. Well, that's a relief. So they filed a formal complaint with its governing body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Be praying for that, Pastor. That can't be fun. By the way, in that particular family, just tragic story, but not the only child who's into trans. His 30-year-old brother calls himself Sophia, still living with his parents. What are the odds? What are the odds that two confused young men live in the same home from the same parents? Hey, that could be the connecting tissue right there. Jimmy, where's Granite City?
Illinois.
That's what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, Illinois. Open Doors, here's your church report from around the globe. Open Doors releasing its 2026 World Watch List report. Guess what? Persecution, it's going up. It ain't coming down. It's going up substantially. It's expanding everywhere. Record high levels. 388 million Christians face high levels of persecution. That's over 8 million increase from the year before. 338 million of our brothers and sisters. Now, I don't want to be an alarmist, Henny Penny, but City's Church, they saw some of that. Now, I've been hearing from people in Canada, and I've seen some of these reports of churches being vandalized and burned down and the government doing virtually nothing in response to it. Unprecedented scale of persecution worldwide, according to Open Doors US. Really extreme violence. Much of it is concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa, which is home to 14 countries on the watch list. Huh, I wonder what the common thread is there. Oh yeah, Islam. That's what the common thread is. Of the 4,849 Christians killed worldwide for their faith, 3,490 were Nigerian. That country is dangerous for our brothers and sisters. Oh, look who's on the list right behind him. Somalia landed as the second most dangerous country for Christians for the fourth consecutive year. But I thought that that was an amazing place. I thought that was incredible, so said the leadership in Minnesota. Our Christian brothers and sisters, they are definitely under the gun. More and more and more. I think all of us would do well not to get consumed by this, not to become unnecessarily frightened. We're not a scared people. We have nothing to fear but God Himself. We should be thinking about what is our mission here. If we continue to see increased persecution in the States, what are we doing? What are we focusing on? What's the purpose? What's the point? What is our church about? What are we trying to accomplish? What's the goal? What are our priorities? Got to tell you, if you want to think them through really, really clearly, I would encourage you to go spend a lot of time in 1 Peter. Just tackle 1 Peter 1. It is so loaded. There's a reason that some commentators say that 1 Peter was actually supposed to be a catechism. It's so loaded with theology. Peter, underneath the threat of persecution, gives the advice that does give us our marching orders and that sets us in the right direction of who we are supposed to be as a persecuted people. Are you ready? Here it is. Here's your mission. This is your goal. This is the path that the Lord has put you on. You ready? Two words. Be holy. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.